biggest waste of 50 cents or $1.50 that I've ever seen. And I know we can do it without them, but it does make it harder not to have a newspaper that actually reports the news in our town. You know, that just reports their slant on the news.
Are you interested in having people kind of conspire with you on this issue of a people's tribunal?
Well, I'm not interested in a conspiracy. I'm interested in an open
I'm using conspire in the more whimsical.
Because your language is so inflammatory, Robert. It's like, I feel like I need to constantly...
Sure, well, let me remove the humor from the language and put
it's
it...
It's not humorous. Robert.
Put it more boldly. Are you looking for some assistance in openly getting together this people's tribunal?
I will be, yeah. Actually starting next week, I'm going to start going to people that I know who have the same concerns that I have. If people want to call in and give you their name and number and say that they would like to serve, I would really appreciate it. God, Robert, I'm sorry I put you to sleep because you were going to do that with your flyer, and I thought I was saving people from that.
It's illegal to sleep in Santa Cruz.
I know.
But luckily,
you must not
it's
sleep.
The daytime, so we're okay. Should we give out your number? Or
no, I think we should give out yours, Robert, because the last time I gave out my number, I got devil worshippers and all kinds of people calling me.
Really? Interesting.
And so it's like I really want serious people, and your number is a very public number.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wouldn't mind, I don't think that you'll be inundated with calls.
No, I'd be happy to. If you want to get in touch with Roxanne and kind of volunteer your assistance either to serve on or to work for...
An independent review board.
An independent review board. Or possibly a people's tribunal, I don't know how you would call it. The number to call is 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and tell them you're interested in that, tell us at that number you're interested in that issue, and I will call up Roxanne and tell her to get in touch with you.
Yeah, I'd be very interested. I think that there's a lot of really good people in this town, and I want people who are fair. They don't have to be unbiased, but they do need to be fair. And where they will really review the evidence and present it, you know.
Yeah, we all have our biases. That's
we all do, and in this case, we actually probably need people I think people, the only reason they'll want to serve on this is they know it's not going well.
Yeah, and I think we need, this is what I've always told the city council regarding the Citizens Police Review Board, we need activists, people who want to make changes, who aren't simply content to kind of sit back and let a parade of horribles trip before them and do nothing. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea. Let me again give the number, 423-HUFF, for those of you who want to contact Roxanne about a really independent review of the, not just the police, I would imagine, but also any law enforcement officials in the area that are dealing with the public.
And then I'd also like, if people would use the city council number, you know it by heart, Robert, to let Sugar, Fitzmaurice, and Crone know that we expect them to not follow an elder privilege statement, no matter how liberal she says she is.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't seeing results, and we do expect that there be some immediate relief from the cold for people who are disenfranchised and do not have a home right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the night that I went downtown with you and we were in our pajamas and had teddy bears and were talking to people about the sleeping ban,
mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you how many people who were all dressed up told me that when they came to Santa Cruz, they were homeless. Someone who was working in a toy store, someone who was working in a bookshop, they all have jobs now. The homeless person that stayed with me had a job within a week and is doing fine. People just need, you know, a little bit of help. They don't need to be stressed out every minute of their life. And it seems to be a common story that once you get to Santa Cruz, you end up homeless. You know, so maybe we're not as groovy and people-centered as we think we are. I know that any time you want to join a group or do anything in this town, you know, it's about $100 a weekend or $40 a day. We might have a lot of groovy stuff going on here, but, you know...
It costs.
It's definitely groovy for money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not people-centered, and it's not available to everyone, which makes me reject it completely.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of therapy or help that costs you money, like big bucks, is probably, if it's only available to the rich, then to me it's not a valid belief system or therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of Santa Cruz. It's like grooviness for hire.
Mm.
So.
Well, you get what you pay for, baby.
Do you? I'm not so sure.
No, I think you're right on that, and that I think is really a
a very sad thing, not just in terms of being morally deplorable, but it's also such a waste of human resources in our community. We have so many people with so many skills, but the community is gearing up simply to fleece the tourists,
right,
you know, and to rip off the parents of students so there can be more and more money pouring into the university coffers.
And I'll be honest, before we defeated, or as much as we defeated parts of the beach flats plan, before our candidates were elected, I really had felt that I was part of a very empty, morally bankrupt committee. But you know what? You old hippies are still out there. You know what's right. You've known for a long time. You just shut up because people put you down all the time. And we really need people back in the system who know what's right and what's morally needed by not only our little town, but by our country.
I agree with you, Roxanne. I think it's not just what's right, as I said, but it's what really makes sense and what really works, and what really provides people with an opportunity to share the best they have with each other and to use the skills and talents they have, and that's certainly not what we got going on right now.
Well, I think anybody that's truly as spiritual as people pretend to be in Santa Cruz knows that what goes around comes around, knows that there's always enough, and you always get back what you put out. So, you know, it shouldn't be costing a leg and an arm. I think it should be available to people who really need it. I'm appalled by the medical care here, absolutely appalled. And I really feel so sorry for people that have to, you know, that are homeless and also ill.
Well, actually, that sounds like the subject of a whole another phone call, and I hope you bring that to your next call. I want to talk about that subject, a very important one.
Well, thanks for listening, Robert.
Yeah.
Now you can read that doggone flyer.
Yeah, well, I may put aside the flyer, but, I would encourage you to do some more, call in again about these other issues that you sound like you've had lots of personal experience with and known lots of people who've had lots of personal experience. Give us a touch, a taste, a real door to reality here as to what's going on with medical services for poor people in Santa Cruz. And I'll just thank you now and cut you off.
I hope people call in and become a little more active. I hope they call in on the police tribunal, and I hope they become a little more active on behalf of the homeless, too, because honest to God, it could be them next.
Let me give those numbers again. 423-HUFF, if you want to get through to Roxanne, who's been talking about the need for an independent police review board. That's not the current police review board. That would be a citizen, and I should say a community police review board. And secondly, if you want to get through to council members Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar and tell them that you voted them in, you want to see them getting together and passing the programs they were mandated to pass and not playing follow the leader with Mayor Byers. I don't know if I'm properly paraphrasing you. Unless she does seem to be appropriate on that particular issue, you can give a call to 429-3550, and then what you should do is wait to hear the message. I know that Keith Sugar's voicemail, and you can do this immediately, is 6 pound. Push 6 on the pound key if you want to talk to him. Fitzmaurice and Crone have other numbers, and you have to listen to hear what those numbers are. Or if you're just impatient and you don't care that the entire council hears your message, you can push the pound key and just simply give your message to the entire city council and say, this is particularly directed to Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, but everyone else is welcome to know it as well. I expect you to, press on with your mandate. We voted for you. We have confidence in you. We want to see you proceed along the paths that you spoke about during the election process and not wait for anybody else on the council. Is that a fair paraphrase?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Roxanne.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And here we are, still blasting away on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My flyer time has been interrupted. I am decimated, I've got to tell you. But I think what we're going to do is go into an interview. Stay with us.
Well, on the line we have with us the sleepy but determined jackhammer John Vance, as I insist on calling him. John's an activist in Berkeley, and Berkeley is... been seeing some pretty tough and wretched times for people up on Telegraph Avenue. Is that right, John?
Yeah.
You run a stand, a table, a First Amendment free speech table concerned with different issues of social justice. How have things been over the vacation, the New Year's, the Christmas, I should say?
I don't know, we've still got a cop down there on the at night, but it's really, they've lighted up. But we have some new signs up, they big signs up that are like about 3 foot by 3 foot that say drug-free zone that were put up on the corner by Cody's bookstore, and up here some out by People's Park, and there's some other signs further up by Telegraph. And you gotta remember, they formed a Safe Streets Now who came in here, and they formed a group comprised of merchants and residents, and so they've come down pretty hard. I think we've got maybe four or five residents, big people left out of all the big people we used to have. I think we've got about five or six left.
How many?
Pretty bad.
How many were there before, John?
Probably were around 50.
So they have decimated the street people community, eh?
Yeah, basically, and the cops go around on the bike, and if they're not on the bike, it's either Officer Boga, who's a sergeant with the Brickwood Police Department, will pull his car over by the fence at Hastings Telegraph and stand there and talk to the kids sitting there and try to, basically discourage them from wanting to be there, because he comes by all the time talking to them, and the bike cops, anytime they see a street person now, they'll pull over and start talking to them, not even do anything, just to talk to them.
Huh. So actually we have hosts who do the same down here, the kind of a green clad, the para-police group that runs around. Used to be like the Berkeley, used to have the Berkeley Guides, or what do you
think? They're down on Shadowville. They're not up on Telegraph yet.
I know that you were telling us several months ago that the police were using this very vicious marijuana law, felony possession charges to, first of all, entrap and then arrest young people that they couldn't get off the streets otherwise, even for selling very, very small amounts of marijuana, right?
Yeah.
We have the same situation happening here in Santa Cruz, where we've heard reports of people gone to jail for, and facing felony charges for less than a gram of marijuana.
Right, they're still doing that here, too.
What is happening in the courts with those cases? Are the people being released, and are they coming back onto the streets? Are they staying in jail? Are they leaving town? What's cooking?
I think what they're doing with them is they're probably doing sporadic undercover sales of marijuana for, small amounts, and giving people like 30 days and 3 year felony probation and stay-away orders and search clauses, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you have your two new anti-homeless laws, the no dogs within 10 feet more than 2, and the no lying down ordinance, is that right?
That goes into effect on January the 8th.
Is any protest planned against this, or are people kind of resigned to it? What's the story?
From what I'm seeing, a lot of people, from what I hear, I'm losing interest. The street people, they don't seem to want to organize against this themselves on their own, so most of the activists here, I hate to say it, but they basically aren't doing anything.
I know I saw some sharp and well-written articles, one by you, one by Nancy Delaney, in the current issue of Street Spirit.
Yeah.
Has there been much written in the local media about this issue?
Not really, no.
How about the issue of medical marijuana? I know that the new administration has been getting a lot of, the new attorney general supposedly now wants to make medical marijuana usable by people, unlike the old attorney general who was interested in criminalizing it. Is that, do you think, going to have any impact on people on the streets?
That's probably possible, but you still got to remember that the people on the streets that are selling marijuana are not selling it for medical reasons.
Mm-hmm. Although in some cases that's why people use it, to deal with the tensions.
People that are buying it, that may be true in some cases, but still.
They're selling it for economic reasons, obviously.
Right.
What about People's Park? That's a perennial flashpoint. We heard some rumors before of there being some kind of
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. There being some kind of a plan to build housing in People's Park like 20 or 30 years ago. Is People's Park still, is it still something of a haven for folks, or is it becoming again under attack?
It's been under attack. I haven't been focused on it as much as I should be, but there have been police up there in like 3 and 4 and 5 cops at a time, and on a regular daily basis, that have been arresting people and harassing people. So it's Telegraph Area Association group that's right across from the park. So, and the, like I say, you got the drug-free zone signs up there, and you got the tax squad police that are up there. I've seen them up there a couple of nights when I walked up that way. There were like four or five of them up there encircling people and shaking people down and taking people to jail. So,
drug-free zone, that means, of course, that the folks are descending on the liquor stores and the convenience shops to get rid of those potent nicotinic drugs, which of course are the most fatal and deadly that the American society provides.
I think those are okay.
I see. What about sleeping bans? In Santa Cruz, where our city council has supposedly told the police to lay off, at least in terms of ticketing only on complaint and after warning, which of course the police are ignoring, but at least that's the official word from Mayor Catherine Byers in Santa Cruz, and from the city council majority that she supposedly is representing or supporting here. In Berkeley, there are laws against sleeping in your vehicle, right?
Yeah.
Are they being enforced?
I imagine they probably are. They always have been, pretty much, depending on, I think, the common sense to me would say if people have a vehicle and you want to sleep in it, you go into a residential area maybe and try to, eat it and cover your windows. I mean, it shouldn't be a problem. If it's a car, it's probably a little harder, but if you have a van, it shouldn't be that difficult.
You would think so, but down here they now have infrared sensors that they use.
It's more like, I think you're more of an exclusive elite area, and so maybe a little more difficult there, whereas Berkeley is a little more, not tolerant, because that's not the word anymore. It's just a little more...
Low tech?
It's a little easier to get around that because of the area that they have. Places that you can go that are sort of low-income type housing areas are street-type neighborhoods that, it's easier to kind of blend into.
Now, I hear that Free Radio Berkeley, or is it Free Radio Berkeley, one of the two, is going to resume broadcasting on the 1st of January. Is that true?
Well, they've been broadcasting. They've been doing anti-war radio, but I think that's got it toned down again, so I don't know. I haven't heard of the last couple of nights.
Because I've heard there's some sort of...
It probably will be. Is it broadcasting off and on, though?
Kindler, gentler, higher tree radio is coming back on the air, is what I heard.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know anything about it at this point.
I hear that Andy Ross of Cody's Books is throwing special celebrations for Jewish homeless people on the streets and is going all out to help in this Christmas season. Is that accurate?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either, okay. That was something of a joke, of course.
Right.
I heard instead that he had been using alleged anti-Semitic slurs to essentially go after the homeless community, and apparently has been pretty effective at it. There was, I guess, a threats that he and other bookstores would leave the area unless the street population was decimated, and I guess they succeeded in doing that, right?
That was pretty much, so there are no people hanging out in the fourth block anymore at all.
Interesting. Except, of course, for your faithful table, right?
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, realistically speaking, there's the only other place that I can see people hanging out is on that fence, by the vacant lot. As soon as the building goes up there, I guarantee you there won't be any people hanging out there anymore either. And police, like I said, they go by there on a regular basis and stop and talk to those people or hassle them or harass them or try to ticket them or unwarrant checks on that spot. Mm-hmm. That vacant lot, it's very visible from the GAA house, the Telegraph Area Association house, which sits back off the lot in there. So they, they look out the window, probably when they feel that there's too many people there, they call the police and have them go over and look, or I think the cops just look to check them out anyway. And like I said, Safe Streets now is here, and there's a lot of the people, the merchants and some of the residents and probably other people in the community have joined Safe Streets now to target so-called undesirable in the community, and
by undesirables, you mean profiteering landlords, merchants of alcohol, or...
No, I'm talking about the street people, and what they'll do is their plans are to file, go to small claims court, and each member of Safe Streets Now, which there's 20 of them or 30 of them, each one will file a claim in small claims court, which is $5,000 each, which amounts to about $150,000 claim.
Against
the University of California, and demand that they make arrests and arrest all the people in the park or arrest all the people on the street.
This sounds like a new tactic. Has this been tried at all yet?
Yeah, they've been very successful in other cities.
What about in
actually been successful in Berkeley. around a house, apartment house, that had people were hanging up, and they had them all, every one of them removed that were hanging out. I guess they were selling drugs there.
So, you anticipate this is going to be used along Telegraph?
It is being used.
Well, under in front of what businesses was it being used?
Well, right now, like I said, it's probably being used in general from the on the Telegraph Avenue corner from Bancroft all the way to all the way down this White Way is probably beyond, probably all the way down to maybe Parker's Lake and you know a couple of other extra blocks down the street, and probably on side streets as well, and in the park, and probably on Shattuck.
You think that the upsurge of marijuana bus is a function of these lawsuits?
They found a way. I mean, this is the way they found to arrest people or harass people in order to get slapped the street.
Was this because of pressure from the Residents Association or simply police department activity?
You mean all of marijuana arrest?
Yeah.
Andy Ross, Cody's bookstore.
So it wasn't because of these lawsuits, simply his initiated.
I think Andy Ross came out there. He saw these people selling marijuana there. So he took it upon himself to call the police and have the police involved, and had big meetings with the police in his store, and above in Cody's bookstore on the third floor level.
What would the short list be?
Well, certainly as far as him being the highest profile criminal in town would be his drunk driving on Main Street the wrong direction, hitting a woman, or having a woman be investigated, not him. He's just his policy. He masquerades behind being a moderate Democrat, which is, I guess, like calling Genghis Khan leftist, you know? I mean, he's two-faced, hypocritical, and a lot, as far as I'm concerned, to make things really bad for people he didn't like.
How about the incoming district attorney, the appointed district attorney, Kate Canlis, and yeah. I guess she's ascending over the body of John Hopkins?
Yeah, that's another just absolutely incredible, incredibly arrogant act from Danner at the last minute here to try and leave his mark after he's gone. I guess some sort of territorial thing or something, I don't know. Some testosterone-ridden...
now.
I don't know.
Is this some sort of personal prejudice? If you and Art had a falling out, is that the problem? Or?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have approached Art from a, I think, a very open-minded position, and every time I just am shocked at how he's handled the office, and
But he certainly has been popular. I mean, he has been, district attorney since 1978?
Yeah, I think by inertia, you know, more than anything. I think that, first of all, anybody's afraid to run against him because of their, you know, fearful of his wrath. He has a lot of power, you know. I mean, in other words, if you look at it from the standpoint of a criminal defense attorney, for instance.
Which you are.
Which I am. He can, in fact... refuse to do any kind of reasonable negotiation in a case, in any case that's handled by me, for instance.
Does he do that?
I think it's quite clear he does that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so...
That tends to make you persona non grata with a lot of people because they don't want you to face the wrath of Art Danner with having you as an attorney?
Well, I mean, that's certainly something that has to be overcome. I mean, luckily I have actively gained the respect of several of the deputy district attorneys, and I think that many of them are very honorable people and refuse to bow to his wishes, a la Patty Bizarre.
Has Patty made any comments on this elevation of Danner and the new District Attorney Kate Canlis.
I haven't had a chance to speak to her since it all happened, so I will assume I'll be in court this next week and find out the latest.
What are the chances?
Quite openly that I have, in fact, talked with several attorneys in the or several people in the county council's office. They're not thrilled about it. I don't think anyone's really thrilled about it.
Are appointments ever overturned by this 30-day discretionary period, you know?
I have no idea. I really don't know. Oh, the other amazing thing about it is that, of course, we have learned that that Danner earned a not qualified rating from the Judicial Performance Council.
Are any of the current judges on the bench not qualified?
I have no idea, but a more interesting question would be how many of the other candidates for DA, I mean for judgeship, were qualified.
And what does that criterion really involve as far as you're concerned?
Your fitness for the bench. In terms of your knowledge of the law, in terms of your ability to understand, you know, and litigate, and all of your background in the actual law. As far as I'm concerned, he knows very little about the law. He's certainly been an administrator for all this time, but as far as how much law he knows,
he did have a number of problems when I approached him asking him questions about the curfew a couple years ago. But I thought perhaps he was simply having a bad day.
Yeah, right.
Maybe a bad decade.
Well, I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, you know, Ed Fry learned in his pursuit of the DA position that that was pretty much a thankless thing to do. But I think I'm hopeful that the Board of Supervisors is not going to take whatever it is that Danner is trying to cram down their throat.
And that happens to be Kate Canlis. Can you tell us something about Kate?
Well, you know, I've never had a case directly with her, so everything I could tell you would be pretty much hearsay. But there's got to be some reason why he's so adamant about her continuing on in his place, his policies. So,
and how would you characterize those policies?
How do I characterize those policies? Again, I think hypocritical. You know, I mean, he talks a lot about not making priorities of marijuana, for instance, and that sort of thing, and yet has actively pursued prosecution of people with small numbers of plants and that sort of thing. A great deal of hypocrisy, I think. Would be the main thing that I would say. I say, not as I do stuff.
Well, I've heard that there's he's got the largest number of either prosecutions or convictions compared to adjoining counties, or double the rate of prosecution, something to that effect.
Yeah, well, and that's another policy that's just, I mean, there's just, I have just recently had some cases in San Francisco Superior Court, and I did find a completely different temperament in the DA's office, of course, under Hallinan, than here. It's pretty frustrating to deal with most of the.
Well, I know that Kate Canlis, and we shouldn't be prejudiced because of her partner, but she does have a very conservative husband, Daryl Allen Gault, former KSCO commentator, who raged against punks, drunks, and skunks, which is how he characterized homeless people.
Yeah.
Do you know anything more about Kate? Any specifics that pro or con?
No, I can tell you a little bit about my only encounter with Dag, though.
Oh, well, hey, roll it by us. We got Kate.
I was on my way to one of the
Dag, of course, is Daryl Allen Gault, her husband.
Yes, sit-down protests that were being held every Tuesday, remember, when they had the sitting law?
In 1994, yeah.
And for some reason on my, I guess I did it for torture, I turned into his radio show. And I overheard him say something about the fact that they were having one of these protests, and that he wanted all his buddies to get down there and give the cops a hand.
Uh-huh.
And it just enraged me so much that I pulled off the road into the phone booth to call him, you know, to make him try to understand.
Oh, an impossible task.
If he would only understand that the same people who are trying to take away his Second Amendment right to carry arms mm-hmm. are the same people trying to take away, you know, the homeless rights and everyone else, and of course he cut me off summarily, and that was the end of that, so.
He's good with that cutoff switch.
Yeah, so, at any rate.
You know, he eventually, of course, was himself cut out of KSCO, I think because of some, I'm not quite sure what the reason was he was let
some
go there.
Some politics of some sort. Yeah.
Well, maybe you can give us an update next week. I guess Tuesday is going to be the Board of Supervisors meeting, in which Kate Canlis gets confirmed, or something to that effect?
As acting DA.
Which will then be the case until March, when there's an election or something?
Right. I understand that the decision will be made in March. I don't think it's an election. I think it's a choice by the Board of Supervisors. I don't think the election will happen until the year 2000.
I see.
And but they have promised open hearings and all kinds of stuff. So, the problem is how many people are going to come in there and rage against the sitting DA, you know? I noticed in the Sentinel article that only one local attorney has the
balls
on it to actually come out and say things in the paper. That was Peter Chang. But all of the other attorneys declined to comment or refused to give their names. So it's a
timid bunch in there.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they didn't call you, eh, Kate?
I guess not this time. I didn't,
Well, I noticed by the clock on the wall that the big game should be starting shortly, and I know how important it is to you to get back to that big game.
I got a crowd showing up momentarily here, so.
Well, listen, thank you, Kate. I hope next time you can give us the details of your HIV plate victory, your license plate victory.
Oh, yeah, that was a goodie. Anytime you can beat the DMV, yay.
Hey, we'll hear more about that. We've been talking to attorney Kate Wells. We call her Catnip Kate. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, still 96.3 FM. We're still broadcasting. God bless us. Let's hear a few notes from Elizabeth Cable.
Comes up another day to trust my luck, take my chances, cross the line. We're all living on borrowed time.
That was Elizabeth Cable, a sweet voice singer who's local, or was for a couple years. I'm not sure. I haven't seen her much lately. We just got a call from that DA watcher battling Bob LaMonica, as I insist on calling him. Bob tells us that there's no March date this year for any confirmation process of Dan, or rather there is a March 2000 election, and also there is a Well, he says the date to go for is January 12th. That's a week from Tuesday, 9 o'clock at the Board of Supervisors. And there'll be more about it in the fish wrap of your choice. Not the fish wrap live, but the fish wrap dead. That's the Santa Cruz Sentinel, or the Sentinel, as some of us know it. So kind of keep your eye on the local news box, trying to avoid buying the paper if at all possible. Even 35 cents to a telephone is preferable to 50 cents to a Sentinel news box. So, I have a nice, long, interesting interview that I had last night, or was it this morning, with Rahula Janofsky, the biotic Baker's Brigade woman who placed a pie on the schnauzer of sellout mayor Whitewash Willie Brown of San Francisco. And I'm eager to play that. But you know, before I do, I'm going to do a few short interviews and try and get a few more phone calls in, try and get a few more of your phone calls in. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and this is your radio station, and the phone line connects to your phone. All you got to do is dial the numbers 427-3772 to put your voice out to hundreds, who knows, maybe thousands of people listening, to get into the broader dialogue so that they can hear your thoughts, you can hear from them, we can all hear from each other, and so grow wiser together. So do it. 427-3772. And if you're not doing it and you feel like getting up and walking around, wander on downtown and head for New Leaf Market, in front of which you'll find that hardworking Bernard, who is doing some tabling for the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban. There's some exciting new sleeping ban buttons or pins you can get. End the sleeping ban, Santa Cruz or Santa Cruel, put the sleeping ban to bed. There are all kinds of cool buttons. So go on down there. They're 35 cents if you're homeless. They're a buck if you're not. All proceeds go to my Tahiti trip. I mean, to the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban. And it's in HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Actually, they just go to reprint flyers so we can keep getting the word out and keep cooking those hot soups for people to come to. We had a very successful Don't Sleep Tonight night on Monday, as I mentioned in my last show, and a somewhat less successful but still impressive first night where we had a table out there kind of watching the police. And the police seemed to be, at least as far as our table went, pretty well behaved. We didn't get any hassles there. Did hear of a few instances, and we're going to start playing a few of those interviews right now. In fact, let's begin with, I think this is from first night. Let me see how we go with this.
Thank you for the update. Any final words?
Actually, we're reaching, we're playing the end of a certain interview here, but hang with us, sir, listeners.
Santa Cruz, the people in the street maybe come and visit Berkeley once in a while and just discourage them, though, from coming here like the...
These are the final minutes of John Vance's interview, which were cut off briefly.
Don't sell your dope or buy dope on Telegraph Avenue.
Right. Already. Feel free to come and hang out.
But hang out big time.
Actually, buy Amoebas in Cody's bookstore because there's nobody there anymore. It really is totally nobody there.
It's virgin territory.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much, Jackhammer John Vance.
Okay.
All right.
I'll see you, Robert.
Hey, John.
All right.
Okay. And December 31st, here's a call to...
Stay with us there, listeners. A little bit of tape problem, but we shouldn't take long.
Sarah Louise Williams. Is it Sarah or is it Louise?
Sarah Louise.
What is? You say you got a ticket a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Because we were sitting next to each other and we were asking people to help us make love on the street because we're putting out coins to spell out love on the street. We said we were panhandling and we have to sit 3 feet away from each other. It gave us a ticket for sitting right next to each other.
It's illegal to sit down, and were you asking for money verbally?
We were asking people to help us make love on the street. They can put anything down they want. It doesn't mean money. I've had people give me buns and everything else, so
right,
and guitar picks.
Yeah, the law in not California, but in Santa Cruz is anything of value. But you can do it provided you aren't seated, provided you aren't in a group of two or more, provided you don't do it after dark.
Yeah.
And provided your hair is brown. So you are out of luck. Actually, the brown hair isn't relevant. But you did get a ticket here. This is a $162 ticket. Name of the officer who gave it to you is not clear. 127. Did you notice his name? How long have you been in town?
A week.
And have you gotten a ticket before?
No, but my friend went to jail. My boyfriend went to jail.
For?
A throwing knife.
A throwing knife. For throwing a throwing knife or for having a throwing knife?
For having one.
And
it was double-bladed though. Double-edged.
Is he a violent guy, your boyfriend?
No, he's not. He found that knife actually on the ground. I hear.
Anything you want to say to Free Radio Santa Cruz?
What I would want to say wouldn't be good to put on that
tape. Hey, you can say whatever you want. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, fuck the police.
Gotcha.
And that's one of the interviews from the December 31st first night, where the table that is currently down on the mall in front of New Leaf Market was also down there. A table to encourage people to educate themselves around the sleeping ban, to call the city council at 429-3550, push the pound key and say end the sleeping ban. And callers, you may have done that many times before, but you're going to have to do it many times again before they get the message. The message has to keep coming into them, or unfortunately they just turn off and apparently go on vacation or turn to some other subject. Let's continue with these interviews.
Hello? Let's see, who are we talking to?
Chris Martino.
Chris, you just got out of jail?
Yep.
What happened?
I was doing my laundry in Washlock, and some female officer came in and kind of was acting like a stormtrooper. I guess something went on in there. There's like three rooms in Washlock, so you don't really know. You know, you can't see everything that's going on in there, like you're doing your laundry. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing my laundry, and they just decide to check me for my warrants.
And you had a warrant.
And I had a warrant. A 2-year-old warrant.
What for?
You remember that? Was a couple weeks ago. I told you about the two campy tickets I got in 48 hours, which made it a misdemeanor. They put me on probation.
Right. Hang on. I want to hear about that.
And it was a misdemeanor, or they were charging
it
as a misdemeanor?
When you get two campy tickets in a 48-hour period, I guess it's a misdemeanor. I didn't really realize that. When they let me go like 2 years ago for the actual time I did on the camping tickets, they charged me $100 for processing fees, I guess, to process me. And so, I really didn't think much about that, considering I didn't pay the camping tickets, that I did my time on my camping tickets. So then I walked out of there thinking, well, I don't know. So I left, and I never thought about it again. And I guess I was just happy to get out of there. And the $100 processing fee went from $100 to $200. And now 2 years later, we're talking about Christmas Eve day. Actually, that night, but it was about 12:30, so Christmas Eve day. They pick me up, tell me I got a $200 warrant, and
what time was it?
About 12:30 a.m. So it was about Christmas Eve day.
You know the name of the officer?
I can't mention her name. She was rather sweet. She tried to fold my laundry as I'm handcuffed.
I told you to grab the cigarette.
Hold on. 1 second. And so anyways, moving right along, I asked her, I said, hey, you know, it's like a $200 warrant, it's like 2 years old, it's like a 97 ticket. And she said, well, no, this is my job. She started putting my laundry away from me as I'm cuffed. And then she was nice, but I said, hey, can't you just let me go? She said, really, no, I can't let you go. This is my job. I gotta do my job. I said, well, all right.
Not true. She could have written you a ticket for the warrant.
Yeah, she could have actually let me go. But then, okay, so they take me to jail. And I'm thinking hopefully I can get out before Christmas. Luckily, I went to court that day. Luckily, on Christmas Eve day, there was court. So I went to court. So I spent that, well, I got credits supposedly for like $100 worth of time.
How long were you in jail?
Oh, they gave me credit for 2 days.
And how long did you spend in jail?
About 48 hours.
Almost. Have you been sleeping outside since?
No.
So you have a place indoors?
Yeah.
That's good.
But, okay, so they give me a $200 fine, right? Spend 2 days in jail. They knock 100 off the 200. Original $100 fine, because I didn't pay it, went to 200. Now I'm in jail. I spend 2 days there.
Right.
I get credit for $100, but still.
You got $100 you owe, huh?
Exactly. Back to point A.
So it looks like they'll grab you in Tuscaloosa and bring you back here to pay your fine.
Exactly.
Any final words for Free Radio Santa Cruz?
I'm still never going to pay that fine.
Thank you.
So we have an interaction here between two police officers at 410.
We're talking to an Ontario Coalition Against Poverty worker coming to Santa Cruz. Your name?
Kelly Hodge.
And Kelly, you say that you've had problems sleeping on the streets of Santa Cruz?
Yeah, the first time I came to Santa Cruz was about a year ago with my best friend. We were just traveling and we needed a place to sleep, and so we were sleeping out on the beach.
Oh, really?
Started to pour rain, went and slept in a doorway, and got woken up by being kicked in the ribs by the cops and told to move along.
You remember where that was?
It was right down on that street that runs in front of the beach. I think it's called, I don't really remember what it's called.
Beach Street.
Yeah. And so we moved on, slept in a different doorway, got woken up again, got threatened with a ticket. And
police
then
or security guards?
Police.
The guys in blue.
Yeah. And wound up sitting up all night trying to drink coffee and then left town in the morning because there was nowhere for us to sleep. We couldn't afford to stay in the hostel.
Can it be that you got unfair treatment from our police department here in Santa Cruz?
Oh, I know it's unfair treatment. You know, that's...